I mean, I think what you see, and I'm not a student of German politics at all, but I have opinions nonetheless. I mean, what you see in the SPD and the Green Party is not nationalist rhetoric. That's incorrect. You do see, I think, a searching for alternative security policies that, in the perception, I think, of the bulk of the electorate supports both of these organizations, conform to the interests of the peoples living in Central Europe. And there's, I think, a growing perception that security arrangements in existence do not. If that's neutralist sentiment, I don't know. That Spiegelpoll you mentioned was I think we should declare a moratorium on Spiegel polls. I thought it was extremely weighted. One of the questions was, do you feel a red-green coalition in Bonn would endanger German democracy? Yes or no?
Well, there have been a lot of polls done, though. I know USAA has done a lot of polls, and you may accuse them of being biased, too. But it seems to me the general results of those have been that the Germans are still pretty loyal to NATO. They're not particularly enthused about the missile decision, but even that question depends upon how you ask the question. You know.
But there's quite a lot of ferment within the SPD security establishment.
No, I agree, and yeah. I'm wondering, you know, if there's a disjunction here between the masses and the elites. Talking about nationalism in the masses is one thing, but it seems to me we can ask whether this whole debate is relevant to what. First of all, is it relevant to what masses are doing, which you know, seems to have been raised, but is it relevant to what the elites are doing, either? And it seems to me that it may not necessarily be relevant, that the CDU elite, just as the SPD elite, seems committed to some form of positive inter-German relationship for the near future, despite what's going on the grassroots. And I think on the East German side, it's entirely possible that, as Peter says, that there's a socialist consciousness developing on the other side of the wall. But maybe the regime is dealing not in terms of aggregate data, but rather in terms of the incremental dimension. And 500,000 people placing applications to leave is the increment that is determinative in the elite's decision making, not the 95% who want to stay in the GDR or haven't placed an application to leave. So I'm without denying, you know, the importance of public opinion data and, you know, historical figures in the cultural nation, it seems to me that the leaderships, maybe on both sides, are acting on a basis of a different calculus than the polls would seem to indicate that public opinion is arguing.
Well, in the role of devil's advocate, though, let me push this a bit further. If East German and West German leaders come to agree that a coalition of reason, which is one of the phrases Honecker has used, or a community of responsibility, which is Kohl's phrase, is desirable and indeed necessary in order to try to limit the damage from the Cold War, of the arms race in Central Europe, and the two Germanys together can play a positive role in restoring détente on the great powers. If they find a community of interest on this level, is it not conceivable that that will lead to a perception of the community of interest and on other levels as well? You know, would at least the great powers not be justified in feeling concerned that this could be the first step toward much further reaching inter-German ambitions?
Mike is already shaking his head no, and so since he's been about to have a lengthy period to say this, let me give him an additional prior target and say that my gut reaction to Honecker's statements last winter was one of real surprise and a great deal of interest. It seems to me that by so drastically changing the tone of his public statements, having first warned about the new ice age and all the things that would not flourish in the shadow of the rockets, and et cetera, to then talk about limiting the damage and community of responsibility, and basically to act as though little or nothing need change in inter-German relations, despite the the missile is going in, wants to make a kind of symbolic statement that has been noticed, I'm sure, in all capitals, Warsaw and Paris, Moscow and Washington, on both sides, which is that for Honecker, at least to some degree, the relationship between the Germanies is very important to some undetermined, deliberately left vague degree, as compared to the needs of the two alliance systems in which the Germanies find themselves. And I think Jim's quite right that Honecker has always been a great advocate of his Soviet connection. I'm sure Mike will say something about that. But it's not been some kind of slavishness. It's been an offensive embrace of the Soviets to make the GDR more important, less dispensable, and to use that to gain certain advantages. There are advantages in this for the GDR also, as Mike has written on their role in the Third World, all the sort of psychic benefits from being important in the Third World by helping the Soviets out are clearly one result of this. Now, for the first time, however, and of course this was done when Andropov, although already on the dialysis machine, I don't know if Honecker knew that or not, was presumably still alive, we're not really sure, but I suppose it was true, they didn't die until after the New Year. Honecker must have thought this would be all right to do this. And I think the campaign this past summer and the cancellation of the visit indicates that there's a powerful group since Andropov died that doesn't think it's all right to do this. And this is a kind of a new now Honecker for the first time really finds himself in a situation where pursuing much the same interest as he had before, he is no longer, on the German question, there's now a divergence with his other, and I would have always thought in the past, more important policy line, namely, the fealty to the Soviet Union. It'd be very interesting to see what happens as a result of
it. I would agree with that, but I wouldn't go as far, and I realize you were throwing this out as a question, wouldn't go so far as to say that East Germany or West Germany are reaching the point where this coalition of reason will lead to some kind of, if not constitutional reunification, then a serious distancing by each of the Germans from their respective alliance partners. Brandt always used to say that his Ostpolitik was always predicated on the firm Westpolitik. And I think that's still the case in West Germany. And I think that the same is true with the necessary changes of direction for East Germany. Their Westpolitik is predicated on a firm Eastpolitik. And that is crucial to Honecker. And I think what he is looking for is marginal room for maneuver, Spielraum, to pursue certain limited, important but limited interests. And I think Honecker is very much aware of his limits and probably wants those limits, not to a large extent too. Because don't forget, in addition to the movement towards West Germany, there has always been and still is Afghanistan. And there is a danger for the GDR to move too close to
That's
West
a
Germany.
Question I actually wanted to ask this morning with respect to Henry's presentation in particular and also objectives. What's the status of Afghanistan in your reading today? In some ways it seems to be much less important than it was 5 years ago, and yet there are some tendencies in the opposite direction. Apparently the Kontakt, they're both the high party and government officials in East Germany, are forbidding them to get into contact with relatives or friends or acquaintances. West Germany, that has been stiffened and maybe tougher. But my sense in general is that much of the rhetoric of Afghanistan has been great, so it has faded very much into the background.
Not only that, but earlier on when the concept was used, relations Abzugrenzen, it was always used in a positive sense. The last time Honecker used it, which was a couple of years ago, he used it in a pejorative sense. He said, we have no intention, we have no relations to demarcate. We have no intention to demarcate our relations. We have no intention, no interest in Abgrenzung. I mean, that it's a concept that just doesn't have its old credibility. But that doesn't mean that the policy isn't there, because the policy is always there. It's a natural policy.
At least you'd have to say it's a policy that's been somewhat redefined.
Well, it depends on who is being applied to. Certainly at the level of intergovernmental visits, the traffic back and forth of sort of cabinet ministers is very intense. much more intense than before. Culturally, despite the absence of agreement, I think it's still going on. But I think at every other level, well, now you can take in tape recordings, though, can't you? Didn't they?
And that was one of the.
That's probably because of the smuggling of rock music. They stuff.
I have yet another question. It seems to me that Peter's concern now about the nationalism sort of as a popular feeling is dropping a little out of sight over concern with the elites. And I wonder, it seems to me in West Germany, things are, with relation to that, you know, German question, whatever that means, are a little out of control. All the fuss about Genscher's remark shows that a lot of what is going on in the Greens and the SPD, there's a lot of unrest in that respect. Now, I wonder what your feeling is about East Berlin in that respect. Is that sort of, not necessarily nationalism, but is Honecker, I mean, obviously he has a lot more control than people in the West have, but isn't he in danger of sort of, you know, giving rise to hopes that he cannot possibly fulfill? You know, there's a lot has been happening in that respect. What was the reaction in East Berlin to his cancellation of his visit? I mean, what is really behind these 30 people in embassies? Is there a lot of sentiment in East Germany, people who expect more from it than he can deliver?
They're two different issues, aren't they? I mean, on the one hand, you can talk about nationalism, reunification, and so forth, and I sincerely doubt that most people in East Germany look forward to that or anticipate it, or even that that's true of people in West Germany. I mean, the good polls in West Germany would indicate that it's, you know, not, at least not in the near future. On the other hand, Honecker's failure to go to the West, these things, just, they reflect on his credibility. I mean, Honecker has, at least on an impressionistic level, I would say, Honecker has been able to build up credibility over the last 5 or 10 years as somebody who is able to build apartment buildings, as somebody who is able to create some kind of a Deutschlandspolitik of his own, open contacts with the West to a certain extent, and as somebody who's been able to carve out a kind of Spielraum. And I'm sure that if you lived in East Germany, you would welcome the fact that your leader would be able to differ somewhat on one issue with the Soviets and then be able to follow through on that. I imagine that it hurt him that he was not able to. But on the other hand, I wouldn't imagine that the average expectations of the East German man on the street are so great as to be all that surprised and or conversely all that disappointed.
I tend to agree. I think there's a real danger of the raising of expectations of some of the new rhetoric in a number of different respects, and on some of the new policies as well. Two examples. One, the implicit and partly explicit promise the living standards are going to rise, and the pensions will be increased, that more and more desirable consumer goods will become available. Because of the economic constraints I talked about this morning, that's going to be harder and harder to do. And yet, as we were saying in the luncheon conversation, you almost get the sense of entitlements that begin to be built in the East German citizens' perceptions of what the state is going to deliver to them. And insofar as those expectations are disappointed, that can lead to more internal unrest. Second example is the 30,000 or 40,000 people who were permitted to leave East Germany earlier this year. Apparently, you know, we don't really know what the explanation for that was. There were some fairly wild ones, like they in fact expect an unemployment problem and they were going to get rid of people that they no longer needed. A more plausible explanation, which is not surely entirely inconsistent at first, is that this was an opportunity to get rid of some troublemakers, essentially the Castro strategy of getting the most discontented and the most dissident out of the country. It seems to me in many respects that is a strategy which backfired, because apparently, and we don't have any hard evidence on this, these are Spiegel reports again, but apparently the number of people applying for exit visas increased greatly. the number of people who were leaving became a topic of conversation in every Eastern family in every corner of the country, because everybody knew somebody or knew someone who had left. And of course the question was, if they're leaving, maybe I should think about leaving too. In the old story, well, I'd be the one who's left to turn out the lights after everybody else is at the gate. I think in this policy, in many different respects, Honka has really been walking in kind of a tightrope. Can't really afford to raise expectations too much, yet he wants to get the variety of benefits we've talked about with these policy changes that brought to the era.
We've been talking primarily about German and German-Soviet relations, and I think this is of major interest to Americans and people in the West. But I don't know all the statistics, but I think that from East Berlin's point of view, its relations with the Comecon nations other than the Soviet Union are very important. And I suspect that East Germany has more leverage, has more Spielraum vis-a-vis Eastern Europe than any other area of the world. My question is, to what extent may East German stage have been influenced by the very strong desire within Eastern Europe to preserve Entente, that in a sense some payoff may come in improved relations with its socialist neighbors?
I don't think the GDR has ever had a single strategy toward the other East European countries for all sorts of historical and circumstantial reasons. For instance, the current honeymoon between the GDR and Hungary, the historians must surely awaken echoes of the Prussian-Hungarian alliance. It's clear that the GDR has the most problematic of relations with the same countries that are most ambivalent about West Germany, those who are most occupied and devastated, Poland and Czechoslovakia. In the case of Poland, there's a whole set of relationships based on their mutual economic integration, and however the difficulties caused by the Polish crisis. Poland sent a lot of workers to East Germany. The whole construction, the Deutsche Dom is being rebuilt by Polish workers. If you walk by there during the lunch break, and as the shifts change, nothing but Polish is there. What the GDR has always most been concerned with historically in Eastern Europe is having East European support for its German policy. That certainly was always Ulbricht's major concern, especially after Romania and the GDR and West Germany established relations. I think that's less now, that's obviously less of a concern than it used to be. The interesting development this year is the fact that Yugoslavia, Hungary, and I think Romania, in terms of press coverage, in effect supported Honecker's notion of continuing to talk, whereas the Poles and the Czechs hasten to denounce it. But I think that kind of consolation could change tomorrow with some other issue. It's just that the relationship among the East European states is basically, I would say, a kind of tactical expedient one. There's no special system, no special loyalty. I think it's a matter of looking out for interests. Tomorrow, Hungary and the GDR could be at odds on something, and vice versa.
It is worth pointing out that in some ways it was not so much a matter of Hungary rushing to the support of the GDR as the GDR rushing to the support of Hungary. And it appeared to have been the Hungarians who initiated the discussion of the importance of small nations further in Beethoven, even the conflict between the superpowers seemed unbridgeable. The famous attack on Ludo Faba, on this point of view, if you read it carefully, it seems to have been directed primarily against the Hungarians.
Well, kind of. It's important to see the sequence there, because I think that when this guy, what is his name, Maciej Soros, wrote this article in the Hungarian press, it was almost as if it was, you know, the coattails effect, that he was taking advantage of a situation that the East Germans presented. And then when Rudi Prawa responded, Rudi Prawa's response is directed at the Hungarians, clearly, but the thing that's described is the East Germans. The thing that's described is exactly what the East Germans are doing, I think. So it's,
well, there's some seem directed specifically at Hungary, particularly criticizing Hungarians' promulgation of their own economic model as being something desirable.
Yeah, that's true. But on the other hand, the other criticism is in terms of getting credits from the West and selling your socialist neighbors.
This is a long study on, you know, the Italians have jumped, communists have jumped in on this also, on, of course, the Hungarian, East German side, so to speak. And these arguments go back into the 50s as to what is the proper balance between one's own way, to the independent vote to socialism and the common model effect. And what's been obvious over the years is that different countries will suddenly pop up as exponents of our own way to socialism. It's not that there's some virus going around that affects leaderships, you know, with deviation periodically. It's that the interests of the countries change. The Soviets have the same interest, of course, which is the imperial hegemonic, is like our interest in Central America.
Now that we've spoken of the Soviet interest, we can move on to the next section. Can we take a 5-minute break?